through them. Take our hearts and speak to them. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Challenge our hearts and minds. Bring transformation in our lives and change us to be your people. We pray this in your powerful name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Now this morning, I think it's safe to say we have quite a bit to be thankful for. Amen? This past week, we all had to deal with lots of uncertainty. What's going to happen? What's going to happen before? What's going to happen after the storm? Where will it hit? Will I go back to work or school? What will the damage be like? How long will I be without power? Some of you are wondering that right now. How long will I be without power? Then Thursday evening and Friday, we watched and we waited. And we watched and we experienced what was happening. When you look at the devastation in Haiti and in some of the other areas, and even in other areas of our country or other areas of our city, many of us have a lot to be thankful for. Many of us, even in the midst of trial, have a lot to be thankful for as well. And I wanted to take a moment right now to take some time to give you the opportunity to say thank you to God. It may be thank you and a prayer request, but this is an open mic time for testimonies where I'm asking you to be the ABCs, audible, brief, and Christ-centered. We're not looking for the whole story from, you know, from Friday afternoon through Saturday, but a brief thank you. And what I want to start with is I'm thankful for the relationships that I now have with my neighbors, many of whom I didn't know at all. I'm thankful that through our conversations on Thursday as we waited and then Friday morning, I now have some of their phone numbers. That they showed up on my front porch knocking on my door because on a couple days before they had all heard our generator turn on when Riverside lost power. So they were knocking on our door just making sure that they were known, I think. But we got to know them. That's what I'm thankful for. So that's what I say thank you to God for. So I'm going to ask Craig to hold a mic on this side, and we're going to take some testimonies of what do you want to say thank you to God for in the aftermath of the storm. I saw Doris's hand go up, and if you have your hand up on that side, just put it up, and Craig will come over to you.
I'm thankful to God for this community because we, living at the beach as we do, we had to evacuate fairly early, and we had no fewer than six people call and say, you can come stay with us if you need to, and that's my husband, my daughter Laura, my son who lives in Jack's Beach, two cats and a ferret, so whoever, all those people who offered were really offering a lot, and we are very grateful to all of them and grateful that we could go back to our home and we have power. So I'm also grateful, obviously, to JEA and Beaches Electric who got it all working again, but mostly to God to get us through this.
Greg, you might want to turn that one on. Make sure it's on, that you have a green light.
Hi, I'm Karen Ferguson. I'm grateful to God that I was able to make it back from my summer vacation in Maine with my pups. It was quite mayhem in the Carolinas watching everybody on the other side of 95 heading up. Not very many heading south, so I was able to go very fast and got home in time to ensure that I could be in my home if I needed to push a tree off the roof or something, being such a strong person that I am. But anyway, I also am so grateful to all of my friends here who kept track of me, wondering where, you know, where I was and protecting me through the love of the Lord. So thank you all.
I'm Jane Cook, and many of us prayed that the storm would turn west or turn east and go out to sea, and it did just enough so that the eye did not hit us, and I praise the Lord for that.
Children, you're here too, so if you have something you want to give thanks to God for, you get to speak as well.
It's not just us tall people.
My father-in-law lives in Fort Pierce, so he wanted to avoid the hurricane down in Fort Pierce area. So we went to pick him up. But what I'm thankful for is that we were able to spend some very quality time with my 88-year-old father-in-law, who is all alone. His other daughter moved to Seattle. His other daughter lives in Key West, 5 hours away, and we live 3 hours away. So we were the elected ones to go down and pick him up. On a lighter note, I was so proud of myself. Now, Edie's told the whole world the story, so when you see her, you can say, I've already heard it. I was so proud of myself because I figured, you know, I'm gonna take a step ahead of myself in the hurricane as well. So I went out and got all these frozen items that I could use in the microwave. When I brought them home, Edie looked at me and says, you know, you are smart, but you don't have any common sense.
It took me a little while to remember that the microwave runs on power. And thawed frozen food isn't that good.
I just wanted to give thanks to God and acknowledge his power. We live on what was a farm 100 years ago, and a smallish farmhouse that is towered over by 100-year-old trees. We have a live oak with branches over our roof, and a sycamore tree that is probably about 4 stories taller than the house, that there's no way that if it fell, anybody would be okay. We did lose 2 trees, but after praying on the front porch as a family, I am grateful to say they were 2 of the smaller trees, not near the house. Darlene left her car at our house, and one of the trees that fell missed her car and one of ours by about 4 feet. So God is gracious, and we are grateful.
I got one right here in the back.
I'm going to give a testimony of what my sister told me. Their neighbor got spooked and left and had a generator in the back. So they took the generator and powered their friend's house. My sister and my brother-in-law went down to the friend. So all of them in one house. They got a borrowed generator for they can have power. It's an elderly couple live across the street. They went across and said, hey, could we help you with anything? You need any food? And the lady said, well, you know, she was kind of sickly and she needed power. They took a extension cord and ran it across the street to the elderly people house. And I just want to thank God for being in a predicament ourselves, if we can, you know, just look out beyond and just see somebody else's need. That was a blessing.
Everybody say hi to news.
Hi, news.
You're going to see news a lot. News is going to be with us every Sunday just about, but that's news.
Hi, I'm John. Just wanted to thank God that, so Riverside lost power, and then it was Edgewood, and we didn't lose power, and then Murray Hill lost power, so we were just right in the middle, and we had a generator, so I guess it really didn't matter if we lost power or not. But it was just kind of cool to have some of our neighbors over and just kind of to talk to them about how the storm went. And then my sister and my dad had this crazy idea to put on their bathing suits and to walk outside. And it was kind of an interesting sight. And they just went to the neighbor's house just to talk to them. And we thought they walked around the block. And I was like, oh no, they're going to probably get blown away. So I also thank God that they didn't blow away.
My name is Bill Half, for those of you that don't know me. I don't like to talk much because my dad always told me never miss an opportunity to shut up. But I got a little story to tell you. One, it's truly a miracle our house was spared where we're located off the beach. I'm still shocked because I went to Hugo the morning it hit Charleston, and the stuff I saw is just, you can't believe it. You can't believe what we were saved from. A friend of mine, That's another reason not to talk much. Friend of mine that we, on the west side, a policeman I used to work with, his daughter called them Friday night. And she said she had a vision that she saw a forearm and a hand come.
I'm gonna stand with my brother here.
She saw a forearm and a hand come down and shield the beaches in Jacksonville.
Amen. I promise Bill's not leaving, he's coming back.
Our family was spanned from Vero Beach all the way up through Savannah. And our Anglican priest, Nathan Bistis, is now serving with the Air National Guard in Savannah, in South Carolina, because he got called in. I'm a mother hen, and I like my people all in one spot. And we had family members that evacuated. And my son, who lives in an apartment on Bay Meadows, chose to stay and not come to us. But I'm just so thankful that God spared so much. And my parents were safe in Monticello, and they're heading back today. And my mother-in-law is heading back with my brother-in-law. And Will stayed and was able to aid neighbors in his apartment complex with his roommate and girlfriend, and everybody was safe, and there's just so much to be thankful for.
My name is Bob. I just wanted to thank God for sparing Sweetwater where we live. I have a daughter that lives in Amelia Island. She vacated the premises. She's fine. My son lives right near the Kings Bay Naval Base. He evacuated. He's fine. So just God is good, and I'm grateful. Thank you.
I'm Roy. I have two things. One is I'm thankful for the place that surely is, River Garden Hebrew Home, solid as a rock. I could not believe, literally, from me to Bill, it was the window in her room, and I could hardly hear the wind blowing. That building is solid, and I'm just so thankful for all of those people that are there that could have been so fearful. They didn't even know a storm was going on. So that's number one. Number two is a real simple thing. No power, right? Bummer? Nah, no robocalls.
My thanks is going to sound really strange, but I've been really tired for the past month, working a lot of hours and not seeing my family a whole lot, not seeing my mom a whole lot, not seeing my church family a whole lot. And on Wednesday afternoon, my manager sent me home early, and I was supposed to work Thursday and Friday and yesterday, and because of the storm, the mall closed, imagine that. And so in the midst of this raging storm, I was with my family. My mother came over and spent 3 days with us. I napped in the middle of the day to the sounds of my children playing board games and building with Legos. I'm sorry, kids, I outed you on that one. We baked, we visited with our neighbors. We had three, I want to, not really dinner parties, but one night they came, neighbors that we've been building relationship with, came and sat at our kitchen table, and we had cocktails. And then the next night we went to their house and we watched the news. And then last night we had a barbecue to celebrate it being over. And all of that happened because God stopped time for us and took me out of my busyness. And somehow I was able to be calm in the midst of a raging storm. Napping on my bed, I could hear the trees just pounding outside, but I was never afraid. And I just heard him say, I can shelter you in the midst of this storm. And he can do that all the time if I let him.
Your job is to continue to tell the stories, because we've got stories to tell. Now the kids can go, because Prudence is going to continue with the saying thank you. Since you guys didn't say much, now you have to go tell Prudence how you're thankful. So Jesus, go before the children, increase their faith. Lord Jesus, amen. I'm amazed after all of the forecasts that, according to the news, I think only three people lost their lives in our area. And I pray for those families in their grief. And at the same time, I marvel at God's protection over us. And Bill's testimony of what someone witnessed as they were praying. Our God is a mighty God. Amen? Amen. Our God is a mighty God in the midst of storm, in the midst of horrible things happening. One of our families, the Drews, had two trees hit their house, and they had to get out. They were on top of that, she had her shoulder surgery on Wednesday, which, if you know that surgery, that's a tough one. Then they're in the restroom in the middle of their house because two trees have hit their house. There are going to be stories like that that we're going to hear. And be praying for those that are recovering. When I talked with her, she was very cheerful. And I said, is this the joy of the Lord or painkillers? She said, both. Praise the Lord. A lot of stuff was ruined. Homes, offices, cars, and possessions. But this is just stuff that can be replaced. I praise the Lord for his protection over our lives and over our city. Prior to the storm, as I reflected on the fact that in the midst of great uncertainty, God was still on his throne. That Almighty God was still on control. He led me to Psalm 46, and I sent this out in an email, and I know that you all read it. Well, we're going to read it again and look at it. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength. I think we've got a slide. There it is. A very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. And it goes on to say in a later verse, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And then in the midst of the psalm, the Lord himself speaks and he says this, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. This morning, as I looked again at that psalm, I thought, how is the Lord exalted among the nations? So how does the Lord continue to be exalted among the nations? And that's through his people. Not just because the storm missed us, because his people give praise. I heard that there was a newscaster close to Francis and Charlie Paul. Charlie is, how old is Charlie? 80-something? Charlie's out there with his chainsaw. And this newscaster is out there, and Frances is just joyful. And she says to the newscaster, this will keep them busy for hours. But the newscaster said, I don't know how she's this joyful. It's the joy of the Lord in her. How is the Lord God exalted? Through his people. And we see this in our reading from Jeremiah 29. If you want to follow along, we're on page 656. This was our Old Testament reading. So page 656, Jeremiah 29. And the context of this is that Jeremiah is serving as God's prophet. And this isn't really a high point in Israel's history. Many of God's people have been exiled, removed from Jerusalem to Babylon in 597 B.C., and so, Jeremiah says, I'm on the wrong page, so let's get there. So he's saying this to the surviving elders of the exiles, to the priests, and we begin in verse 4, where the Lord speaks, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. So God's people have left, and this isn't a vacation. This isn't a decision to leave on their own to find higher ground, as many of you did, seeking a safer place. This is exile. God sending his people into exile because they had forgotten him, because they had worshiped idols, because they had turned away from him, and they were now living in captivity in another country. That's what's happening in this passage. Jeremiah's audience, therefore, they're aliens living in a strange land. They're captive. They're not able to leave. Think about it. As God's people, we are citizens of another country, yes? Through faith in Jesus Christ, we are citizens of another country. This is not our permanent home. Yet we live here. We live in a broken world. This scripture speaks directly to our situation here. We are aliens living in a strange land, citizens of another country. Now look at verse 5. What does the Lord tell these who are captive to do? Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons. Give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. Keep it right there for right now, Jonathan. Does he tell them to wallow in misery? Does he tell them to just hole up until I release you? No. He tells them, don't mope. Don't be depressed. Don't wallow in your exile, but live. Build houses. Plant gardens. Do business. Interact with this culture in which I've put you. These were God's people, and God tells them to live as his people in this foreign land. God tells us this morning, live as his people in this land. Amen? Amen? Implicitly here, it's not written, but implicitly as he tells them to live, he's telling them, worship me while you're there. Because I know you don't like exile, and I know this might draw you back to me, the Lord's saying, worship me, serve me, and be witnesses for me in this foreign land. Raise your families. Remember my commandments. Teach them to your children and be my witnesses, the Lord says. Live. How is God exalted among the nations? By his people, living as his people in this foreign land. But most important here is the next verse, verse 7, where God continues, seek the welfare of the city where I've sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will find your welfare. Seek its welfare. Pray for the city. Pray to the Lord on its behalf. This would have been shocking to the Jewish ears. Right here. The rhetoric that's used by the prophet would have been shocking because pray for the city. What city would they normally be praying for? Jerusalem. They're hearing those same Hebrew words applied to Babylon. That would have been shocking. God says, pray for this city. And they would have paid attention at that point. Pray for your city. Live, be my witnesses, and pray for your city. This is exactly relevant, entirely relevant to you and me here and now. Because if you are one of God's people, if you have faith in Jesus Christ as Messiah, Savior, and Lord, if you have new life in his name, if you're redeemed from your sin, then you are adopted into his family. You are therefore a member of his people, his witnesses to the world. Through you, God will be exalted in this city. Without you, well, God needs you. Through you, God will be exalted in your neighborhood. You heard in our testimony stories of protection, stories of praise, but you also heard stories of relationships. I loved news testimony. Could we run an extension cord across the street to power your stuff? And by the way, I'm news. Who are you? there were relationships that were started. How many of you met neighbors that you haven't seen in a while through this storm? Many of you. How many of you made new friends wherever you were during the storm? Many of you. How will God's name be exalted? How will others meet Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior through you, the church? And you have a huge opportunity in the next few days to be his witnesses. I want to invite you this afternoon, tonight, and in the next few days to knock on the doors. Normally, when you knock on your neighbor's doors, either they won't open them or they, what do you want? Now you have a very small window. I sound like a telemarketer. I'm sorry. Now you have this opportunity to knock on the door and say, my name is, and I live, how are you doing? I guarantee you they'll talk. How did you fare during the storm? They will talk. Is there any way I can help you? You just get to stand there and get to hear some of their story. You may hear about family members other places, but we have an opportunity to build relationships with those whose doors are normally closed. And those opportunities are going to go away. In about a week and a half, it's going to be gone. You're going to be met again with, what do you want? Take the opportunity to knock on the doors. One of the doors we knocked on was a couple across the street. They're both in their 80s. Found out they both don't have smartphones. So they were in the dark there. They had electricity. But when I went over, she said, no, we've heard your generator for 40 years. We know it's there. Could we please come over if our power goes out and brew our coffee in the morning? Well, of course, Martha. We now have a more significant relationship with her where she called and said, please come over and get my husband out of the tree that just fell down. He's going to hurt himself. And so I grabbed my other neighbor that I really have just been building a relationship with and said, could you help me? And we took the tree down and kept Frank safe. You have opportunities right now to be the love of Christ, to knock and just listen. And chances are you're going to have an opportunity then to say, could I get your phone number just in case something were to happen, if another storm comes through? That way I could check on you. We now have phone numbers for some neighbors. We had neighbors on our front porch that we'd never seen before, saying, are you leaving or are you staying? You have an opportunity to be his witnesses. So go and knock. That's your assignment. Okay, what are the two parts? Go and knock. If you don't know what to say, tell God that. Okay, Lord, please give me the words to say. But go and knock. This morning, before the storm was coming, our worship team chose an offertory song, and it's going to be a video that we're going to watch. But there are two parts to the video. And the song is called The God of This City. God of This City. And it's a popular song, but we're going to now watch about a 4.5-minute clip of the story of this song. And then we're going to get to listen and sing along with this song during the offertory. But it's exactly appropriate to God's heart for our city. And he's going to do that through you. So please listen to the testimony, and then at the end of it, we'll move into the prayers of the people.
Loose the chains of injustice, to set the oppressed free, share your food with the hungry. Come, my children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Jesus said, let the little children come to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. You have been a refuge for the poor, a refuge for the needy in their distress, a shelter from the storm, and a shade from the heat. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and defend the rights of the poor and the needy. I tell you the truth, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these. You know, a while ago, I was part of a missions trip that went to a place called Pattaya in Thailand. And it's actually in Pattaya where I wrote the song, God of This City. And the thing with Pattaya is it's built on the industry of sex. It's a place where there is really no less than 30,000 female prostitutes. And that's just the girls from the ages of 18 and above. And I'd never been to a place like this before, and it was a real... it was a real eye-opener and a real kind of awakening to what is really going on in this world. We signed up to go and be part of a mission trip, which we led worship in schools and in churches. But God opened the door one night where we could actually go and play and lead worship in the middle of a brothel. And this brothel was on it's on a pedestrian street called Walking Street. And it's just lined either side with hundreds of bars. And all of those bars, by UN definition, are brothels. And the deal was that we could play for 2 hours in the middle of this brothel if we brought some of our friends with us. And in the middle of that 2 hour set, about an hour into it, I began to think about who is God in the context of Pattaya, in the context of abuse, in the context of the child sex industry, and just really kind of wrestled with those questions and tried to see some answers. And I believe that the Holy Spirit began to kind of speak out. And I began to prophesy over that city and over that nation that actually, do you know what? God is still God over Pattaya. He's still Lord over that nation. He's still the king of those people. And that actually, he has greater things for them in their life. He has a plan and a purpose and a destiny for them to walk in. You know, and I think the challenge in this song is that yes, praying is fantastic, but that we actually do more than pray. We actually go into this broken, hurting world and we be the hands and feet of Jesus. And we be all this song is challenging us about, that we bring love, we speak peace and joy and hope, and we reveal what it is to have the kingdom of God here on earth. You know, and God has called us to declare in the darkness that there are greater things for them in the name of Jesus.
So that's the message, that there are greater things. There are lost in your neighborhood that do not know the name of Jesus, in your workplace that do not know the name of Jesus. And God has greater things for them. How is his name going to be exalted? How are they going to hear the name of Jesus? Through you, his people. May this be true, Lord Jesus, of us. Give us the courage to knock and then to ask questions. For the glory of your name, shine through us and bring new life. And it's in your powerful name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Now let's stand.